Greetings, witches. We are at this again. I know we are on a wacky schedule. It's not Sunday night. It's Monday night. Who knows what night? We are talking about more Hecate, and I hope you are ready to get philosophical because it gets kind of deep, but in a good way and in a way that I think you'll probably laugh about later. But anyway, this is Hex Rated. I am Blackbird, along with my good friend Scarlet. We are so glad you are here. Please enjoy.
Fucking press play.
Fucking press play. No fucks given. I feel so powerful right now.
Tell me about your power snack that you just
made
for yourself.
Oh, shit, dog. You are not ready to hear.
Shit, dog.
Shit, dog.
Wait, where did we get this from? Because I have said that multiple times in the past few weeks, and I don't know who I got it from.
I don't know where it started. I don't know where it's going, but I'm going to tell you what I did for myself, and I don't know if I'm gonna eat while we're talking, so get ready, listeners. First, before I get into this snack game, because that's gonna blow your mind by itself. I am Blackbird. This is Hex Rated.
I am Scarlet. It's still Hex Rated.
It is, and we're gonna talk about shit. I would like to call this Philosophy 400, but it's more like 88 because I'm dumb. I'm not dumb. You know what I mean. It's gonna sound anyway. Hold on, snacks. I'm gonna tell you about it. Okay, so I have one tiny plate that has, and I say in order of seeing it on the plate, two blood orange chocolate squares, fresh blueberries.
Okay.
Four graham cracker halves. So not the big graham cracker, but like.
Yes, the square.
Yes, four of those with Nutella on them, and a bowl of pecans and raisins.
Yum.
Next, I haven't. What?
Oh, wait.
There's another
more?
Tiny plate. Yeah, because I'm doing sweet and savory. I think this is probably breakfast, lunch, and dinner. There is turkey, which I know is not for you, but honey turkey, granny apple slices. Cheddar cheese
Yum.
Slices and Swiss cheese slices, like very small
wow.
bits. Yeah, I went crazy.
Oh my gosh.
All with some more Magic Hour Onyx tea, brought to you by Magic Hour. Just kidding.
We wish. We absolutely
Zena,
wish.
Zena, please.
Please sponsor us.
Please. We need money.
You can pay us in tea. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't give a shit. So anyway, that's
well, I just
what did
ate
you do?
Some scrambled eggs straight out of the pan because I have a fireproof mouth and that's how I roll.
So this is my excitement because what a paradox. And we are totally going to delve into that topic again today. But like, here we are. I am being weird and meticulous, but I have also eaten shit right over the sink out of the pan. That's how I roll. And you roll that way too.
Sure. I mean, it's, I enjoy a delightful and artful little charcuterie.
Oh,
is that what you would call what you the snack you've
yeah
arranged? I mean, it's just a delightful little grazing
indeed
situation.
And that's kind of my like I would eat like this all the time, honestly, if I could get Mr. Blackbird on board, but I don't think he's like, although that's what we did for New Year's. We made this huge like charcuterie board with all this shit on it, but I think like I can't eat like that every night. I can't just like gorge on crackers and cheese every day. Wait, what?
Oh,
wait, I can?
I tried and I done it.
I was going to say, I could try. Yes, I have a whole game going on. There may be sounds of chewing. I will lean away from the microphone. That's all I'm going to commit to because this is delightful and we need to fucking talk because now, listeners, you will be hearing this a week later. But it only took me 12 hours to decide to buy the fucking class. I was like, I don't know what I'm like. Who am I fooling? I watched the
Not Hecate.
No, for sure. I watched the intro that is free and was like, well, fuck. Now I have to, because look at this charming man. Not to quote the Smiths or anything, but he is very charming.
He's probably down.
Oh, I'm sure he's down. Well, you've already fucking talked to him, so I guess let's...
Oh, shit! Go ahead. Well, okay, wait, yeah. Finish your story. No. I'll do my humble brag in a second.
Well, I'm not going to go into the mind-blowing aspects, but I was just like, I don't know, I slept on it. Oh, also, while sleeping on it, before I went to sleep, right after we got off the chat, I was like, I'm going to meditate, but I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to do my normal meditation, but then I'm going to go back to the Hex-rated archives and listen to the meditations that I actually created for you, dear listener. And because, you know, it's not a thing like, I want to hear my own voice. I kind of like, I don't hate listening to us, but I don't like love it either. I mean, it's kind of an ambivalent feeling. But I was like, well, I'm going to listen and see, because I've listened to them before, but it's been a while, like since we moved. So I listened to the last one, which is the cave. So there's three in this series, and they're called the Magical Meditation series. The first one's the gate. The second one,
super recommend. Yeah, FYI,
yeah, FYI, if you haven't heard it, go ahead, get back there and listen to it. It's like it's several episodes ago. Many. One is the gate, one is the path, and one is the cave. And I was like, I am gonna go straight to the fucking cave. Because I feel like I already done been through the gate and the path tonight. So I did this cave meditation. And in the meditation, once you are there with Hecate or whoever your dark goddess of choice is, I don't think I really name it in the meditation, but for me, it is Hecate. And you have to give her something. And then she will tell you something. But what I gave her... And this is what's going to tie in our talk today. What I gave her was a very small, very ornate hourglass. Now, I had not been thinking about this image. I have not touched an hourglass in a long time. I'd like to play a game or anything. I have not thought about like hourglasses. This is not a thing that's on my mind really ever, unless I'm like playing a timed game. So I gave her this hourglass and the thing I say in the meditation is that what you give her is precious and also dangerous. And I was like, well, fuck, time is both of those things, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Duh.
So,
oh my God, you're blowing my mind.
Oh, trust me, it blew my fucking mind. And then I fell asleep, but it was just like, And what she told me isn't, I don't think, I don't really remember it, and I don't know that it was important, and I don't even really know that she told me anything. She just took the hourglass from me. So, I don't know, man. So in the span of that time, I wake up, we do some shit, and I'm like, I'm just gonna buy this class. Fuck it. I spend probably $400 on really stupid shit that is not something that is cool and smart. And I was like, it's like a class. I'm going to school. So I justify it, right? we're not going to give this class away. We're not going to tell you, you know, nothing is secret that he's talking about. But what I'd like to talk about today is like concepts, because we kind of touched on it. We're going to talk about paradox again. What I want to talk about right the fuck now is, when are we not in transition? If she is the Titan, if she is threshold, when are we never in that moment? And this is going to sound real high.
Whoa.
So I was in the shower just now, and I was showering. I was like, well,
the best place for deep thoughts, facts.
Always. Yeah, if you don't follow Reddit, what is it? Deep shower thoughts or deep thoughts in the shower? Yeah. Follow it. I'm in the shower and I'm thinking, and I get out and I'm like, well, okay, there was a time before I was in the shower. Then there was the shower, and then there was the time after the shower. So you could say that the shower is the liminal space, is the space between being showered and not being showered. But also, get ready to blow your mind, there's also all these infinitesimal moments inside the shower where you are constantly going from not clean or, you know, soiled to clean. like, it's so meta. There's like moments and moments and moments. And when you're always in transition, your cells are always like doing shit, right? That's
yeah. You are not the person you were a nanosecond ago.
That's right.
Because a new cell has created. You've shed like dead cells, like
right
yeah,
now.
Your body is literally changing as we speak.
Exactly. So that was one thought. I don't know. This is going to kind of be probably all over the place because that was just one concept that he kind of brings to light. Like if we're thinking about her as the threshold. Just think about all of the thresholds in your life and not just like the big ones that you can, you know, see with your eyeballs, like childbirth or life or death or, you know, like think about all of the moments you are in transition every single second of your life. It's all the time. So she is like, so first concept, she is everything. She is all, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the non-being or the non-stuff, the in-between that is connecting everything that is.
Right.
That was a bunch of words that sound like they don't make sense. Oh my God. I hope they did.
I'm pretty sure that I am not making sense at all. Because, of course, I'm like talking to myself while I'm in the shower, talking to myself out of the shower. I'm like, I really need to just quit talking because I need to save this so we can talk about it. But like, and so here's where I start bouncing around because I also had this thought about paradox, right? And we talked a lot about that last time. And I was thinking about how I had never really considered all of the paradoxical aspects of Hecate, but I have been shown the paradox before I was ready to accept it. Does that get ready? And
I'm just gonna keep doing that.
Yeah, here's my example. It's like word vomited too much already. Brain bucket out. So when I got this tattoo, and we've talked about this before, but I'm talking about it again because it's like I'm seeing it in a whole new light. Remember how I was like, that smile is not what I see. That's I don't ever see her smiling. She has a very in my tattoo. She has a very sweet smile.
Yeah, and a very doll-like face.
Bing a ding.
I mean, it's all like cracked and lava-y, but it's sort of like a classic, like front-facing sort of traditional gypsy head sort of look.
Right. So like, bing bong bing. That it's like
bing bang boom.
Bing bang boom. That is the paradox. Like I didn't see it, but my tattoo artist did. Was like, you know, I always see her as this kind of like very stoic figure. And here is this sweet presentation that is being sent to me that is like, it's a sign, motherfucker. Like, wake up. I am not just the thing you think I am. So there's that.
Well, I mean, but you say that you like weren't ready to know it, but like you accepted the tattoo as drawn.
Absolutely.
So,
right.
So there was a knowing, there was an acknowledgement. And it's taken, how long since you got this tattoo?
Well, since I started, right, years.
To come to your conscious brain.
Like full realization.
But it was in there.
Right.
I mean, I think maybe on some level you always knew it. It just took that long to percolate to your conscious brain.
Well, and to actually articulate, I think. And to like say, like, I think it's one thing to say, oh, yes, I accept the tattoo and it is what my artist saw, so of course I accept it. She is way more skilled at drawing or picturing things than I am. I accept it on those terms, but also like I wasn't ready to say, well, that is how I identify. And now I'm like, what? I don't do I even have a concept of her identity anymore as a physical form? I don't know, maybe. And it could be like 18 different things now. I mean, And always has been, is my point. Like, it always has been. I just haven't been able to, like, articulate seeing it.
Yeah, and I think that part of it, at least for me, is that I'm very, very aesthetic. You know, I have a very strong personal brand.
Yes.
And I think that I purposely blind myself to some of these other aspects.
Right.
Because I only want to consciously consider the ones that are already aesthetically appealing to me. So they're in my periphery. I'm seeing them, sensing them, smelling, touching, hearing, all of that. But I'm kind of pushing it to the side. Like, my conscious mind is choosing to focus on a very linear set of identifiers and symbols and,
well, and
styles.
We kind of talked about that last time, too, because I think that also is true of when you say, like, you are afraid to, or not afraid, but reluctant to let yourself maybe see or be certain things because you are afraid it will flood you, or you won't be able to shut it off, or you won't be able to get that aesthetic back that you prescribe to. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. And I think that that's kind of, that fear is very similar. I mean, I'm basically projecting that fear of my own identity onto the things that I identify with.
Right, right.
So yeah, no, I love it.
No, and I think I was thinking about that in terms of who I am now and who I mean, there were things I couldn't even name when we talked last time because I wasn't thinking about, oh, I used to drink a lot and now I do not. Yet another transition, which was kind of a big deal. I can't believe next year is going to be 10 years that I know, right? Time fucking flies. Crazy. But like, thinking about the person that I was, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or before we moved here, or I am not necessarily a person that, like, yes, I don't have as defined a brand as you. I think in terms of course, you know, I love goth everything, but I don't like necessarily project that 24/7. And it's really out of laziness. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not because I don't want to. It's because I'm fucking lazy and I like to be comfy. So, like, is that why, going back to our discussion last week about how, you know, I was all this, like, student body president, all these things in like junior high that I am not now? Is it because I am more adaptable? Is it because am I drawn to her because I am not, I am also not one thing? I don't know. And I'm not saying you are only one thing. I'm just saying, like, do we recognize the multidimensional self? What the fuck am I saying? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do.
Oh my God. Oh, you can bail out now, listeners. It's probably just going to get fucking worse. No, like, do we, there are times in our lives where we recognize that multidimensional aspect of ourselves, and there are times that we do not. So, like, it's not good or bad, just like Hecate is not good or bad. There's no judgment there.
Yes. Well, and also these moments of transition are not a hard-edged thing.
Right.
I mean, just because, like, some of the things that we're naming, you know, like, you can't go back and get unborn. I mean, I guess you could if you come all the way around and die. But, like, you know, some of these processes are kind of a one-way ticket, but then some of them are not. And just because you've evolved in certain ways doesn't mean that the flip side of that is not still also part of you.
Right.
So I think that that's also something that, like, why people are afraid of change, because it seems like a door is shutting or something, or a chapter is ending. And that doesn't always have to be the case. I mean, sometimes it a clean break is the wound that heals the fastest, but I think that's also part of it, is the fluidity of transition.
Right.
What did I just say?
I don't know.
The fluidity of,
I was just thinking about something, and of course it's gone now. This is the problem with thinking so esoterically, is like, I can't hold on to these, like, thoughts because they're just all swirling around in the ether, freaking me the fuck out. But I mean, I like it, but it's creepy. But I think, so I want to talk about the ways my mind was blown apart, because it's not just talking about the paradox, and it's not just talking about how she literally is the threshold. It's that if we are to accept that she is limitless and unbound and ungirtable, like you can't contain it, there is like a fear and a freedom in all of that. Like you are clearly, she can be, you know, terrifying, and yet so comforting. You know,
paradox.
What is it?
Shazam.
Yeah, right. I don't know. It's just, it feels, what's interesting to me is I really started thinking about my relationship and thinking like, well, she doesn't always just manifest as this vision. Like sometimes I just feel a presence. So a lot like the Force or whatever, right? And I don't know if you've had, do you have that experience with any of your deities that you work with?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Sometimes it's just like,
just a feeling.
You know, like the feeling of, you know, when you notice that someone's entered a room or right. like that just kind of sense of
you're not alone or
right. Or like you're walking and you pass from under the shade into the sun and you feel your skin being warmed or something, you know, just like your perception of your environment shifts slightly.
Yes. Right. So I was just trying to think about all the ways that I could have just missed the manifestations. Right. So, or if, you know, if we want to get real philosophical, the constructs that my mind is,
we do
the constructs that my mind are like making up to be possible manifestations at this point. But like talking about how I always see a meadow when I try to do trance work, talking about feeling this presence, talking about hearing a voice rather than seeing a physical form. And then like, I think about the time that we were at Pantheacon, the night that we had that, the one chant, like hour long chant, that feeling of like this flow or river. It's not even like a voice or a body or a presence. It's just like, you are in it. Ugh, I'm making the motion like my hands are a wheel. I don't know. But it's just like you, it's like pure being. Ugh. I don't know.
It's not a, I don't even want to say it's a process that you're sensing. Because to me, that has like individuated steps.
Right.
And like a beginning, middle, and end. And there's like a concept and then an end result of like a finished product or something. So that's not quite the right word. But the idea that it's like, I like flow. Just yep. like this idea of like waves.
Right.
You know, of something like radiating. Perhaps maybe that is a better, or ringing, or yeah, it's something about like kind of, hey, wave particle duality. Whoa, quantum physics.
Well, okay, so that's something else that he talks about. He's like, you know, we're gonna get into the celestial, cosmic, hypercosmic, which I don't even know what the fuck that is, but okay. Like basically, I started thinking about it in terms of, okay, we have this like. Most of us, I don't even want to say most of us anymore, like a lot of people were raised with this Christian framework. And I after I got out of the shower and thinking my thoughts, I was like, you know, I don't even know that the Christian God is not as powerful as Hecate. Like it's just, it seems tiny comparatively. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, I frequently think about what a sad, tiny universe is depicted
in Christianity. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, and I think that's why a lot of Gnostic sects tend to, they sense this. They sense this limit to their world and the limit to this force.
Right.
And so a lot of Gnostics actually believe, and this is completely heretical, they killed a lot of people for saying this, their belief is, okay, so why is this world and why is this religion framed in terms of such rigid but also arbitrary rules that that the universe is so small that it's literally just, you know, the earth is the center of the universe. We are the only intelligence, not only in the universe, but just on this planet, that other things don't have souls, yeah. that we are not connected to those other things, that we're not part of an ecosystem, either literally in a biological sense
right.
or figuratively in a spiritual sense. And that why is that? Well, they believe that the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, is actually a demiurge. So he is a tiny piece of the all, a tiny piece of the forces that govern the universe that has created this world, a little tiny pocket of the infinite, and has set himself up as the ruler of it, and it is flawed and small, and real enlightenment, real salvation would be realizing that truth.
Right.
And of course, that's very much trying to
undermine,
create a that's really creating a backdoor completely out of that religion. While really, really holding on with your fingernails to stay in it.
Yeah.
But
like, what's the point there? And that, yeah, what's the point?
But and I'm not, I mean, we drag on the Abrahamic faith a lot. And that's mainly because, one, they suck. But also, two, that's the dominant current in our world, in our culture.
Right.
And it's the one that's causing me the most consternation on a daily basis in terms of, you know, fascio-Christian politics and things.
Right.
People trying to govern based on these principles.
Right.
It's not great and I don't like it.
No.
But I would say that organized religion in general kind of, I'm not going to say always, but it tends, because there is a voice of authority and a time and a place, and that it has to be a group activity, it does kind of lull you into this small universe.
Right.
This universe where you are not free to directly commune with the divine. And not only that, not only are you able to communicate with the divine, but ultimately you realize that you are part of it. You are made of the same stuff.
Right.
You are the divine.
Right.
Divine is you. Everything is.
It's not.
Whoa.
You're not because of the divine. You are the divine. And I'd like to point out, too, and you can, you know more history shit than I do, so correct me if I'm wrong, but like, even though there were Hecatean temples, priests, priestesses, devote, ardent followers that showed up at a temple and did shit, you could freely enact with this goddess in your own home, like we were discussing about, you know, putting something in the threshold to honor Hecate. There was no, like, you didn't need and someone intervening on your behalf. You had direct representation with
right. I mean, perhaps if you wanted a little oomph in your life, you could go to a temple and get, like, a sacrifice,
make an offering
on your behalf or whatever. But yes, there's definitely not any kind of gatekeeper in terms of your ability to interact with these forces.
Right. Which, awesome. I mean, you know. And I think, I don't know, I will think, or I think that the modern day Christianity, well, some sects do believe that too. Like, they don't need a priest or a pastor or whatever. They can interact freely with their God. But I was just thinking just about how, you know, like, the Christian God is never defined as largely as I just heard this guy define Hecate. You know, like, when you're talking about all these layers, hypercosmic, cosmic, real world, underworld, like, every single dimension that you can imagine I don't really hear Christianity talking about their God in that way. I mean, I was just trying to compare and contrast kind of my my feelings. This is not based on any kind of reading I've done or anything like that. So I could be 100% wrong, but I have never felt that way about the Christian God, Jesus situation.
Right. And I feel like just for people in general that are anti-science, this doesn't have to be religion or whatever, but people that are just like kind of anti-learning, anti-science, I've said that exact thing. What a tiny, sad universe you live in.
Right.
Like to not think about how unfathomably old the universe is, or how it's expanding and speeding up. What? Like, is there a multiverse? Like, what is it when time is not perceived as linear the way we like? Just oh my God, like there's so many cool things that are being discovered every day, like within my lifetime. Like DNA, that's fast. What? Huh?
So much.
The internet, like what? I mean, going back to last episode, we were talking about, like, you said technology is indistinguishable from magic. That totally. Like, doesn't that, I don't understand not having that sense of wonder and like childlike excitement.
Well, but go,
what is possible and like how big and infinite the universe is and how big and infinite our capacity to interact with it and try to understand it is.
But don't you think that's fear, fear-based? It's all completely like paralyzing fear of not being able to say, I know for sure.
Exactly. Yes.
Which to me is like a very small existence.
Yeah. I mean, how sad is it to think that the Earth is 6,000 years old?
Oh my God. I don't know anybody that thinks that. That's awful.
I know. People
are out there. Yeah. I mean, what?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Which,
but also like, doesn't that make your God seem so tiny?
Right. Like
if he made such a tiny little, or like not believing in evolution or something, like wouldn't that mean that the forces that govern this multiverse to design evolution that operates on a million year time scale and is always in flux and like is just so dynamic and complicated and is operating at a pace that we can't perceive, like doesn't that make the force making that possible sound so much cooler than like somebody just kind of was like playing like Barbies and dinosaurs and made all the things in 1 week and then
took
was
a
just
nap.
Like done.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, took a nap.
Oh, okay. Well, we're not here to drag on Christianity. I mean, well maybe, I mean, a little.
let me just like try to drag on something else.
Oh,
for example.
Please.
Like when I mean, like some of the faults I find in for Buddhism, for example, like I feel like sometimes people take the idea of non-attachment to the extreme.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Which again is to me is very limiting, to be like the things of this world, the pleasures of this world, the affection I have for things and people and experiences in it are somehow tying me to a inferior existence. So I need to cut all these things away. Now, of course, the language used to describe this of escaping samsara is described as a feeling of expansion or oneness or peace or zen or something. But to me, it's fear-based again. It's like, I'm going to punish myself.
Right.
Make myself smaller. Make my experience smaller. Make my capacity for wonder and joy smaller.
Right. Because if you're, because if you're cutting yourself off to, you know, all of that attachment, that to me, that's what you're doing. Now, I would think they would argue that's the expansion, is to not to have complete sense of self and to not like not just sense of self, but sense outside beyond the self without things or people. Which,
right.
But
I mean, I'm certain somebody that is more adept and is more familiar
not
with
me.
Specific sects of it.
Yeah.
of Buddhism, there's definitely, you can make an argument that that is a misinterpretation of the idea of non-attachment, for sure. I'm not saying that this is like an across the board. I'm not trying to paint everybody with the same brush.
But I think people do take it to the extreme, though. I think they do take it as punishment. And I think also there is too much focus on, again, maybe not, but to me, there's a lot of focus on reaching nirvana, reaching enlightenment, attaining enlightenment. How do you fucking do that? Get rid of all your shit, go on a big long walk, you know, whatever. I mean, there's all these things that you need to do to get to this point. Whereas I feel like the way I interact with my deities or deity, there is no end point. The end point is not is completely irrelevant. It's not even in the picture. Does that make, am I?
Yeah, no, and that kind of is getting back to what I was trying to articulate about, like, it not being a process.
Right.
Because to me, that still insinuates that there is a end product. There's, like, a finish where it's done and it's good and we all just sit back and applaud or something.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's...
I would like more of your reactions to the videos we talked about. So,
yes.
You know, last time I was kind of throwing some of my wild thoughts at you and getting your response, but now that you are not getting it filtered through my ADD adult consciousness, like, what were some other things that hit you? I'm curious to know what things stood out or really spoke to you.
Okay. Well, I really enjoyed the when he... I'm going to skip ahead a little and talk about while he was reading the prayer to Celine.
Oh, yes. I would love to talk about
so that. Stop listening. Go read that.
I got it pulled up. Do you want me to just read
through
it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Briefly? Yes. No, read through it. Yes. Do it.
Okay. So this is from the Greek Magic Papyri, which was written, I want to say, like 2 or 3 AD. It's basically the notebook of a sorcerer from Greco-Roman Egypt. And this is the prayer to Selene for any spell. And it's the reason why he selected it as a reading is, you know, Selene and Artemis and Persephone are often conflated with Hecate or kind of seen as parts of her triple aspect. And then Hecate is invoked in this by name, and just a lot of the imagery sounds a lot like our girl.
Right.
So this is just a spell that you can use for everything.
That's right.
Come to me, O beloved mistress, three-faced Selene. Kindly hear my sacred chants. Night's ornament, young, bringing light to mortals, O child of morn, who rides upon fierce bulls, O queen, who drives your car on equal course with Helios, who with the triple forms of the triple graces dance and revel with the stars. Your justice and the Moira's threads, Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos, three-headed, you are Persephone, Megara, Alecto, many-formed, who arm your hands with dreaded murky lamps, who shake your locks of fearful serpents on your brow, who sound the roar of bulls out from your mouth, whose womb is decked out with the scales of creeping things, with poisonous rows of serpents down the back, bound down your back with horrifying chains. Nightcrier, bull-faced, loving solitude, bull-headed, you have the eyes of bulls, the voice of dogs. You hide your forms in shanks of lions. Your ankle is wolf-shaped. Fierce dogs are dear to you. Wherefore they call you Hecate, many named Mene, cleaving air just like the dart shooter Artemis. Persephone, shooter of deer, night shining, triple sounding, triple headed, triple voiced Selene. Triple pointed, triple faced, triple necked, and goddess of the triple ways, who hold untiring flaming fire in triple baskets. And you who oft frequent the triple way and rule the triple decades, unto me whom called you, Be gracious, and with kindness give heed, you who protect the spacious world at night, before whom daemons quake in fear, and gods immortal tremble. Goddess who exalt men, you of many names, who bear fair offspring, bull-eyed, horned, mother of gods and men, and nature, mother of all things, for you frequent Olympus, and the broad and boundless chasms you traverse. Beginning and end are you, and you alone rule all. For all things are from you, and in you do all things. Eternal one, they come to their end. An everlasting band around your temples, you wear great Kronos' chains, unbreakable and unremovable, and you hold in your hands a golden scepter. Letters round your scepter Kronos wrote himself, and gave to you to wear, that all things stay steadfast. Subduer and subdued, mankind's subduer and force subduer, chaos too you rule. Ararakchara Ephistiskere. I just totally butchered that barbaric language. Hail goddess, and attend your epithets. I burn this spice, O child of Zeus, dart shooter, heavenly one, goddess of harbors who roam the mountains, goddess of crossroads, O nether and nocturnal and infernal, goddess of dark, quiet and frightful one, O you who have your meal amidst the graves, night, darkness, broad chaos, necessity, hard to escape you are. You're Moira, Irenes, torment, justice and destroyer, and you keep Caribos in chains with scales of serpents, are you dark. O you with hair of serpents, serpent girded, who drinks blood, who brings death and destruction, and who feasts on hearts, flesh eater, who devours those dead untimely, and you who make grief resound and spread madness. Come to my sacrifices, and for me now do you fulfill this matter.
I mean, fuck. I mean, holy fuck.
Fuck.
There's like fuck. So much in that. And I have read that. I have read that many times in my life, and for some reason, like after this lecture and after us talking, that has hit so differently. Like just the terror, the beauty, the allness, just, I don't know. I just can't get over the fact that like she is literally everything in every moment.
Yeah, some of the words that stick out to me, child of morn. Yeah,
right.
Not, I mean,
that's not
young,
terrifying.
Bringing light to mortals.
Right.
But then, you know, your womb is full of serpents and you birth monsters.
Amazing. I mean, I don't know. Beautiful. That stuck out, that reading, just because it was so... I don't know. It just felt so... Again, I get astounded at how fresh and modern things feel. You know, even though it's wrapped up in this kind of archaic way of speaking, and of course it's a translation, and they're talking about, like, you know, keeping dogs in chains, and you have a womb full of serpents. It's all, like, kind of weird. But, like, just modern. It has a fresh feeling to me.
Yeah, I can't believe just some dude.
Just some dude.
That, like,
there's some street dude. Like,
street dude. Because keep in mind, like, he was selling his talents and abilities to, and I thought this was a really interesting point that Jack Rowe brought up, that the people that would
visit him,
avail themselves of this service, would be people that are disenfranchised.
Right.
You know, that are just, you know, merchants, slaves,
servants, people on the margins,
servants,
yeah,
you know, lovers that are not having a good time, you know, people in trouble with the law. Actually wrote out the quote. He said people who were hunted, persecuted, prosecuted, or litigated against.
Right. So, like, witches. I mean, you know,
witches.
Yeah, like,
but yeah, so I mean, to me, everything about this is just as a piece of poetry. Whether you believe in the gods or not, or whether you believe in this particular person's personal capacity for power or magic, it just sounds like it was divinely inspired.
Yes.
Like that this came from another place.
It's almost like if somebody was like, yeah, if like somebody said, okay, just start word vomiting shit. Just start like think about your deity or.
But also make it poetry.
But also make it sound really cool. But like, I like that. Well, shit. Okay. This has now turned into hex literature. I like how the urgency of it, especially in that like middle to late section where he's just like saying, you know, face of bulls, this triple, like he's just naming shit like over and over without a whole lot of flowery language around it. Like he's just like punching it out, man. Like I'm going to tell you, you know, 18 things that you are. And it just seems so urgent and yet natural and spontaneous.
And sincere.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God.
Because sometimes you read these lofty poems, yeah, either modern like, or ancient, and
lo, thou
they
art.
Seem more of like, yeah. They just seem like an exercise in literature.
Right.
Like, you don't feel like the person, you don't feel the author's voice coming through that they mean it. You know, right. It's more of like an academic exercise.
Right.
I wanted to point something out.
Please.
You have used 18 as a go-to for a random number twice today. What is that about?
I don't fucking know.
Because you were like, I don't know, 18 things. And you said that earlier. You were like, that was just your go-to, like, bajillion.
Weird. I don't know.
You've done it twice.
What's the number 18? You're like...
You've done it 18 times.
You've done it 18 times. You're like Little Miss Numerology. You can probably tell me. I don't know.
I am not Miss Numerology. Wait, what?
I don't know. I thought you knew something.
I don't have that Little Miss book at all. That is not in my personality library.
I wish there was a Little Miss Numerology book. That would be fantastic. I don't know. 18 doesn't really... maybe it was a real good time in my life.
Well, I mean, it is...
But eights. Eights in general are... You know,
I don't like eight. I don't really? Like the number eight, really? But 18's okay. Yeah, no, eight is like it's like the color of like Barney or Grimace.
Oh, wow.
It tastes
weird.
Tastes like gross fake purple.
That's crazy.
It tastes like cough syrup.
Weird. Yeah. Oh, that's nuts.
I don't like it.
Okay.
But it's also like fuzzy and moldy. Like if you.
Well, what's 18?
18? Some numbers don't really have a... It's black and white with like yellow crescents on it.
That's crazy.
But it's, you know, 3 times 2 is 6 times 3 again.
Oh shit.
So there's a lot of threes,
a lot of threes in
it,
there.
You know?
Yep.
So either 3 times 6 or 3 times 3 times 2.
Triple.
Yeah, so it's a lot of threes and twos is how you create this number.
How about that?
And 1 plus 8 is 9, of course, which is
2 3 squared.
Yep. So.
Okay.
Yeah, well. I think it's like a lot of, it's just a lot of threes.
Maybe I'm just like doing.
Triple headed, yeah. Triple faced, triple necked.
It's, yeah, it's 3 times 6. Right?
Yes, or math. 2 times 9.
No, but if it's like, I'm trying to just think of significance. If I am talking about threes and I am saying 3 6 times, basically, when I say 18, what's the 6 significance? Or we could break it, well, or it could just be...
Well, 6 is 2 3.
Okay. Yes, I know. So like...
Math.
So it's...
3. I'm just going to say 3 18 times.
I'm pretty sure it's about the threes. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm not doing it on purpose. That's a fucking fact.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail that.
No.
Completely,
well,
but
this
I
is like
that was a really weird thing that you were doing.
See, literature, math corner. We have it all here at Hex Rated. It's not just witchcraft. The world is witchcraft. What?
Whoa.
But what I was excited about is. The prospect of broadening my practice and my horizons based on this new knowledge, which is not new at all. It's just knowledge that has been inside of me, not ready to come out, I guess. You know, like this expansiveness, this all, you know, not this, it's not like she's an omnipotent being. It's like she is just in all things. So like to ask her to work with you, and he does talk about this a little, to work with her seems like too grand, right? Like it's, how would this universal cosmic hypercosmic entity want to even be with me or be next to me? But then you start breaking it down, like, but yes, but she's with you all the time. If you are constantly in transition, she's with you all the time.
Yeah.
So don't get hung up on the expansiveness of it. I mean, consider it, but don't get hung up on it thinking you can't approach.
Yes. It seems so infinite and so not human, right? But like you said, like she's in all things.
Right.
So, and Jack said, something that I liked that I thought was cute. He's like, if you have the pleasure of having dogs, dogs come when you call.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the goddess of dogs, which is not meant to demean her and say like, oh, she's like your pet, but that there is a natural affinity of her to be companionable, to be responsive.
Well, and to protect. I mean,
And to protect, and you know, dogs, of course, before they were the pampered Instagrammable pooches of today, a lot of working dogs, their main job was as guard dogs.
Yep, right.
So that again comes back to borders,
right?
Where, you know, if you're approaching someplace that you're not supposed to be, dog's gonna bark,
right,
and warn you you are crossing a threshold,
right?
So, you know, that is also very much her vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I have more shit to say, but I think I need to, like, well, now week two is out, so I gotta keep plowing on. But like I think I could listen to that series of lectures over and over and still hear new things. And that's what I love about school. I mean, you know, you could just hear different things every single time, even though he's saying the same words. It's the perspective inside you that shifts. So I think, I loved what we did last night, where I kind of went into it unknowingly and blindly. But I really am super glad I just bit the bullet and did this, because I don't know that I'd ever read those same words on a page even the same, rather than hear it coming from this dude. You know, like he is clearly very scholarly, but also makes it very, cozy. It draws you in, and you are speaking about this force, this Titan, as if she might be at your dinner table. You know, like she is like you said, like a companion. And I dig that.
Yeah, I will say the presentation, I mean, this is certainly, you can have these revelations on your own.
Sure.
You don't need to spend money, and
right,
you know, you don't need some particular guru.
No.
Or anyone specific, or, you know, so I'm not trying to build up this as like the secret key to everything.
Oh, fuck no. No.
Right. But I will say that one of the reasons why I'm enjoying this series is that it's very unpretentious. And yeah. I will say, as a person that struggles with this myself, it is very difficult to talk about esoteric things and also history type things,
yeah,
and spiritual things without sounding pretentious or sounding like you're talking down to somebody or like you are being overly complex just for the sake of sounding
right
smart.
No,
or whatever.
It's not like that.
It's just very, but this is, it feels like you're having a cup of tea next to a fire and having a chat with someone that's very smart,
that's very knowledgeable in this subject, which can, you know, can also lead to you thinking about a lot of other subjects. Right. Yeah. Again, it's not necessarily, I think it's just that it's this time in my life that I'm getting this presented to me. And I, as much as I've read, and I do like the idea of it not, and he uses the word camp, you use the word camp last time. I like the idea of it not breaking down into that, of not necessarily, I mean, if you want to go right ahead, but I don't have to like put on a white tunic. I don't have to burn like this exact incense. There's, you know, having, and we've always talked about that, like not having really rules for how you're going to worship. So I'm interested in this next part because I think he is going to talk a little bit about the rituals surrounding Hecate and how it was done in ancient times. So I want to hear that. And then I hope what he's going to lead us to is like a more modern take on that worship, basically, or the calling in, if you will.
I would also say I was thinking about when I did do some of the work from the Hecateon. Mm. It was very weird. The magic from it functioned very differently than my magic. Because my magic tends to be, like, when I'm doing devotional stuff, I very much, like, feel it in the moment. You know, I'm overcome with these feelings of, like, awe or disorientation or bliss or whatever. You know, there's a very immediate effect, like when I go into trance.
Right.
And then if I'm doing a spell for some particular desire, I usually, you know, kind of feel like a pop or something, like it's in motion, like ding, like, and the experience I had with doing some of the rituals and spells in the Hecateon was almost like they in and of themselves kind of operate. So you're setting something kind of in motion, like a wind-up toy or something, and it's kind of operating on its own time scale, in its own ways, in its own dimensions, that don't have to do with your conscious mind or the present moment.
Right. But it doesn't mean it's not doing something.
Right.
Right.
So I at first felt like, quote unquote, nothing was happening.
Right.
But I'm being, that's my anthropocentric idea of wanting to feel it through my human senses and wanting to experience it in my human version of linear time.
Right.
So I'm very curious about how this work will continue to operate in that way that ends up being very surprising. The other experience I had when doing the spells is I also tended to get like real dumb. So
tell me more.
Like, I burned my book by accident.
Oh, no.
Because I had like a little like charcoal of incense and I had the book, and somehow I just put the book like right next to the fire.
Whoops.
And there's like a scorch mark on the back, which
that's kind of awesome.
Fair, yeah. It's pretty metal. I'm not going to lie.
Pretty sure she approves.
I also like was just real, I got the dropsies, I was dropping stuff and then just couldn't stop. You know, like when you start just getting like butterfingered and you just can't, then you can't stop. You can't hold on to anything.
Yes.
I was trying to list out the days of the week and did them in the wrong order. Like I'm two and don't know how to speak anymore.
Oh, do you think it's do you think that's part of a paradox? Holy shit. Like,
I know. No, it's definitely
like you usually got your shit together and then
it's definitely that there are forces that are operating in a way or in a place or on a level that I am not used to.
Right.
And it's disorienting.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
So I'm going to buckle up for being a dumb.
Well, I do want to say, And he says this right in the beginning, which I really appreciated, is that the Hecateon is actually how he pronounces it, is independent of this class. Like that's his personal journey, grimoire, his relationship with Hecate, But this lecture series or this interactive class, I really hope he is going to send us a package. I have a feeling that might have been in earlier iterations of the class, but I'm like, I want a package.
Sending out like 300 things, but yeah. I don't know.
Maybe, but I'll be a lovely surprise. But like, I like that he separates it. He's like, you know, the book is not what we're doing here. So I like that it is separated, and it's not like you've got to buy this now really hard to find book to be able to interact with this lecture series and these classes. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to listen to everything again and just like maybe I didn't take notes this time because I was on a walk, but like even as I was walking, I mean, just every step I took, I was just like, well, if that's true, then this and this and this. It's just like, it was so like, I just had this feeling of just like, I mean, he uses the word and I've used it several times, expansion, just this feeling of being like everywhere all at once. Which I haven't seen that movie. I really want to see it, but like,
it's very cute. Is it? Oh, I would love to rewatch that with like a Hecatian sort of.
Maybe that's what I need to go do meeting. Right now. Yeah, I don't know, but anyway, I don't know. It's pretty great, and I told Scarlett, I was like, "What are you doing? Because we need to talk about this again. Because now I watched the lectures, and let's fucking get on the let's talk." So, here we are, and there will be more. Because there's 13 weeks of class. So maybe this will be like Hecate series for 3 months. Buckle in. I mean, I guess we can like sprinkle in some plants or something in between those. But like, I don't know. I'm excited. This is great. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad you got on the train because yeah. I'm super excited to discuss it with you.
Yes.
And I think we're both going to get similar but different things out of it. Yeah. So I'm very glad that you are going to meet my partner in crime.
Yay.
And I need to catch up on the Facebook group.
Oh,
and
yeah.
See
I got to join
if
that.
If that is a satisfying read or not.
I kind of feel like I want you to tell me about it because you know how I detest the Facebooks. You just tell me.
I'm not a big fan of the Book of Faces, really. and people... Yeah. I just really hate people that don't know when to shut up.
Yeah, there's a man.
As I say, recording myself talking for an hour. No, but you know,
not that
like,
kind of. Yeah, I get it.
Like, that are not contributing to a discussion, that are just sort of telling their own sort of personal anecdotes
right.
that don't relate to
the subject
the community.
At hand, right?
But I don't think it's going to be like that.
Okay.
But, so I'm curious.
I'll give it a whirl too. But yeah. Well.
So.
All right then. Wow. Just whoa.
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 Whoa. Until next time.
Hocus pocus, bitches.